And you'll be surprised as you share what God is teaching you. You'll be surprised how much more you are learning, listen, simply by telling it to someone else. It's like it becomes a part of you. And the more you tell it, the more it becomes a part of you. And if you'll talk to someone, for example, who may not agree with you, you say, well, the reason I don't want to share my faith is because they may not agree. Here's what happens. When you know something in your heart that God's worked in your life and somebody disagrees with you, that won't bother you. That shouldn't intimidate you. What it'll do, it'll make you examine even more thoroughly what you believe, why you believe it, and the next time somebody doesn't agree, what happens? You come on a little bit stronger. Why? Because you are more established and settled in your faith than ever before. And so Paul says now, he says, as you receive the Lord Jesus Christ, so walk in Him. That is, walking in this intimate relationship with Him, trusting Him for every single circumstance of life. And if you want to walk that kind of life, which is the best way, he says, you've got to make it your habit to draw from Him, build upon Him, established in Him, being instructed continuously, applying these principles to your life, and ever showing gratitude toward Him. Now, then he gives us a caution here. Watch this. I want you to notice what he says in this eighth verse. Look at verse 8. Now he says, see to it. That means, hey, watch out. He says, I want your attention. See to it that no one takes you captive. How? Through philosophy and empty deception, according to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ. Now, what you notice, two other things he says. So go back to chapter 2, verse 1. Look in the first verse. He begins this passage expressing his concern. Here's what he says. He says, for I want you to know how great a struggle I have. Now, the word struggle is a word that is spelled agona in the Greek, A-G-O-N-A, agona, which sounds like the root word for what? Agonize. And so that's what he's saying. He says, I want you to know how great a struggle, how I've agonized on your behalf. And then if you'll notice in verse 4, he says, I say this in order that no one may delude you, deceive you, mislead you with persuasive arguments, which was a problem they were having in the church there. And then if you notice, he says in this eighth verse, see to it that no one takes, he says, see to it that no one takes you captive through these vain things. Now, I want you to think about what happens today. Here's the person who's saved by the grace of God, and they join a church and are baptized, and they begin to live their Christian life, and oftentimes not instructed. Not instructed in the things of God. I mean the concrete, basic principles by which we live. Listen, you can't live the Christian life with shabby, half-hearted, sort of truth. You've got to have truth to live in this world full of error. And so he says, now watch out. That's what he's saying. He says, watch out. They'll deceive you. They'll mislead you. He says that you'll be deluded. Because what they're going to come to you with is the world's wisdom. It's the world's philosophy. It sounds real good. You and I know that anytime somebody's going to do a sales job on you, what do? They give you all the positives. They make everything look good. They color it up exactly right. I mean, listen, you can make $1 million overnight. You can do this. You can do that. You can have this. I mean, they paint it up. I mean, you smell the odor and you hear the sizzle. It all sounds fantastic. On the other side of all that stuff is a bunch of junk. Because the truth is that it's empty, vain deception. That's exactly what Paul said here. Notice what he says. He says, see to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception. And he's exactly right, empty deception. I think about Christians, for example. Where I get a haircut, there's a lot of folks come there, and men and women. And so it's interesting to me to watch what people read. Now, you know, in barbershops and beauty salons, they got all kind of magazines. Most of them are junky stuff. And it's amazing to me to watch these women read these things. It's interesting to me when I walk by and I happen to see somebody looking at their astrological sign. And they sort of do it sort of quietly and sort of secretly. You don't want nobody to know. What they're trying to do is to find out the will of God listening to some junk. In other words, if you want to find out what God's going to do in your life, ask Him. Why ask somebody else? And besides that, just because it's in the newspaper, the magazine, doesn't mean it's true. You could call me up and pay me, and I'll give you a good word. I mean, I'll be happy to tell you something good's going to happen to you. You pay me enough, and I'll make you sound like a millionaire overnight. And you can come on with all kind of voices. You know, I'm smart enough to be able to tell if you call me you got trouble or whatever's going on in your life. And if you talk long enough to somebody, you can figure out what they want because they'll tell you. All that is deception. And people are spending billions of dollars for somebody to make them feel good. Well, let me tell you, as I think about your future, here's what I see. You know what they see? They don't see anything but what they're making up in their minds. They may hit some things right. Well, you know what? You do enough of that, and after a while, you can figure it out. But the truth is, everybody wants to hear something good. Now, what do? They go to these psychics, or they want somebody to read their palm, or on the telephone, or in person, or whatever it might be. All that is vain, empty philosophy. That's just part of it. There's a whole world of that junk out there. The whole New Age movement is an offer of something that looks good, sounds good, has big offers, but it is empty deception. The only person who can tell you anything about your future and to know it correctly is Almighty God. And here's what he's saying. He says, watch out for them. They're smooth. He says that they're slick. They'll tell you what you want to know. He said, watch out, because he says that's the way they are. So listen, Satan did not offer Eve, quote, a persimmon, did he? No, he did not. He didn't offer her something to be such twang she'd want to spit it out. We don't know what in the world he offered her. We would say an apple or whatever it might be. But whatever it was, it tasted good, looked good, felt good, you name it, it was good. And that's the way the devil's been operating ever since. And so what he's saying, he says, watch out for these vain philosophies. Because, he says, because that's what it is empty. The only person who can meet your needs and mine is the person of Jesus Christ. If I want to know something about the future, I need to get on my knees and ask God. Now watch this. He may not tell me. He may not tell me everything I want to know. He may not tell me anything I'd like to hear. But if I want to know the truth, he's the one to go to. Or he may say, here's what I'm going to do. And oftentimes I've said, now, Lord, I need some direction here. And oftentimes God will just lay it out step by step. And sometimes he'll say, here's what I'm going to do, and give me no steps. And of course, my next question is, how in the world are you going to do that? And his favorite words to me are, just trust me. And that's the way God wants us to live.